Okay, I'm out of here, y'all. I'm leaving a little early, but my man Dan, the Liberator, is in town. He's going to be spinning some music, and then he's going to come up with a word of mouth with all the news and all the boom shit with the best news in North America. Check it out. I'll see y'all next week. I'm gone.
One of the problems with hip-hop nowadays is nobody supports growth. You know what I'm saying? Hip-hop is a platform for us to see and experience things that we more than likely wouldn't see. At least not legally, anyway. Real recognized, real Sicario.
I came in the game like play me and lose. He freestyle C now, but in the meanwhile, play me a tunes. How many hits he got up on the radio queue? He got some hot beats, maybe a few. Not me, I don't curse, though I know a few Canadians do. I'm part of my French, I'm just a Canadian dude. Trying to express what I'm writing for as part of my quest. Every MC's fighting for a spot on my bench. Cause I'm Canadian, they expect the first letter A. I'm on my grind, trying to make words better, K. I rhyme all the time, trying to work better. They claim what they heard's better, every word that I say, K, every verse better than the verse that I laid. By the time the hook comes, like I took one take. I hope this whole verse gets put on tape. I got the whole instrumental, this could run late. This is hip-hop, Promise is a name, you know I'm hip-hop. Graffiti on trains, you know it's hip-hop. Suede suit, gold chain, that's hip-hop. Get it through your brain, this is hip-hop. I still play Duck Down, cause they hip-hop. And Joel Ortiz, cause he's hip-hop. From the door, I'm telling you, we don't wanna hear that weakness no more.
The rap game changed when I came in 01. Spilling on rappers with flows like the ocean. Sicario, the dope one. Think now, ask Ans who she signed after the kid, my nigga. No one. Slow ones, never packed the stadium show once. That's hip hop like Live Big and Cold Crush. Look at the crowd down there for me to show up. We circle in Brazil in a chopper, doing donuts. Pocket full of real.
Sicario, the bosses.
Latin King of New York, black and yellow foses. Jesus' head is blessed, please don't touch the crow. Since you Velcro, then my nuts Dutch. To get you all fit, forfeit. Meddle with the future, you're living in the present. I got to dumb it down and get through to ya. Benny said, what they gon' do to ya? Sack shooter crack, homie, please turn the music up.
This is hip-hop.
Sicario is the name, nigga, I'm
hip-hop.
We used to bomb the A-train, cause we
hip-hop.
The Shop Boys is a game, he not
hip-hop.
Rich boy, you insane, he's not
hip-hop.
I still rock Wu-Tang, cause they
hip-hop.
Joel Ortiz, cause he's
hip-hop.
From the door, I'm telling you,
we don't wanna hear that weakness no more.
I mean, I still do my usual tune. Stay clean, they label me like Fruit of the Loom. So you would assume that's why they wanna sign me. But it's cause they heard I got a new label behind me. Just rewind them, it ain't just as rhyming. Promise is bad boy, bet Puffy signs him. I know Promise, he put out some good music. So Promise will probably get put out for good music. His wordplay certainly product of good usage. Confucius couldn't say it better. Hang from the hood, but I'm back with the hood on my back. And I change my sweater according to the change of weather.
This is hip-hop. I don't even get that metaphor. I got the hood on my back and I changed my sweat. I'm talking about hoodies, man. This is hip-hop. MySpace.com/PromiseMusic if you want to hear the hottest music. Sicario the boss. Angie, what up? Where you been? Hip-hop.
This is for you.
They take all I got. They take 26. Now the ill is hot. Take 26. They take all I got. They take 26. Now the ill is hot. Take 26. They take all I got. They take all I got. They take all I got. It's the new world order, but the new world's older. The new world rests on the new world's shoulder. But in this comfy state, the world gets older. The new world's dead now. The new world's over. Over to the commies and the captains on the hill. On the run from the feds with 535 deals. Congress is dead. I'm 100 miles and running. Wouldn't that be something? Back Obama, a secret Republican Democrat, and he put a drop on the race, put a drop on his face. It's all the same body with a different face. Elect George Bush with a different race. Instead of blue eyes and white hair, he got a crew cut fade. Now there's true cut aims at these blue blood games. Patriot games with a blue blood shame. Knock the air on, now we're killing in the name of killer sparrows. Singing songs for the bears and the bulls. The bulls and the bears, but I don't care. Say it ain't there, but the proof's in the pudding. Max it up, max it up. Take the nuts and blast them up. Your next door neighbor is an undercover cop. Slaughtered by cops, but I'm slaughtered by not. I'm standing in my spot, cause my block is
Wednesday. We're back here for another Word of Mouth Wednesday episode for you tonight here, 7 to 8 p.m. We've got a big show lined up here for you tonight. It is our G20 Justice and Prisoner Solidarity episode. We have audio from the Support the G20 Defendants rally that took place this past Monday in front of the Toronto Police Headquarters. And we've got a few interviews, including interviews with Miriam Madrangi of the Toronto Community Mobilization Network, Barry Weisletter of the Socialist Action, journalist and activist Lacey McCauley, and Selwyn Firth, a candidate for mayor of Toronto, plus is filming on a public street now considered terrorism. We've got an update on the case of the Press for Truth reporter Brian Law, who was arrested while filming downtown before the G20, and also the mystery surrounding the use of agent provocateurs at the G20 protest continues, and the people are trying to get to the bottom of it. All that and more tonight on the Word of Mouth Wednesday. My name's Daniel Libby. You are listening to CKLN 88.1 FM in Toronto, and this is the Word of Mouth Wednesday. Stay tuned, 7 to 8 p.m. We'll be right back right after this.
This is Kevin Annett with the friends and relatives of the disappeared, and I want you to listen to Word of Mouth Wednesday. And please listen to our website, hiddenfromhistory.org.
We have recommended, and our reports are all sitting on their shelves. And our reports are clearly being ignored. There is no accountability for what happened on June 25th and 26th and 27th. We just shake our heads hoping there will be accountability. People will talk to you about the drop charges and the lack of evidence and the no evidence. That's a lack of accountability. We have got a police service that bows to no one. We have got a police service that does not listen to the civilian oversight that is put in place, does not listen to their community. And we need a police service that acts a lot differently than the one we saw at the last weekend of June.
Word up, Word of Mouth Wednesday. So that was just a clip there from the rally that took place on Monday. It was a rally, G20 Solidarity Rally, Monday, August the 23rd. So it was 2 days ago, and it was in front of the Toronto Police Headquarters, right a few blocks away from here, actually. Yonge and Dundas, or Yonge and College area is where the police headquarters are. Well, right now we're broadcasting CKLN right near Yonge and Dundas on the campus of Ryerson University. And that voice you just heard was the voice of Anna Willits, who we've interviewed. I actually got to interview Anna Willits before the G20 when she was at the one of the speakers at the Toronto Community Mobilization press conference. And she was one of the speakers there at the rally that took place on Monday night. It was a big rally because many people on Monday were called to court, one of the largest court days ever in Canadian history, with over 300 people called to a court on Finch Avenue, you know, in the north part of Toronto. Let's just get right into this. I got a speech here, just getting into this G20 solidarity rally. This is a speech by actually the brother of the supposed, or the the suspected ringleader of the whole Black Bloc tactic, this is actually one of the speakers was Jonah Hundert, it's his brother Alex Hundert, who's been around in the newspapers and stuff as one of the organizers that was arrested even before any of the G20 main protests on the weekend happened. Well, anyways, this is what Jonah Hundert had to say in his speech at the G20 solidarity rally, solidarity with the defendants, the people that have been accused of these these kind of acts. Here's just a bit of that speech.
Our next speaker is Jonah Hundert, who works in solidarity with Indigenous sovereignists and land defenders. He was involved in G20 protests and is currently working on the support committee for the 17 organizers charged of conspiracy, doing direct support work for his brother Alex.
Thanks everyone so much for coming out today. My name is Jonah Hundert. For me, that's J-O-N-A-H-H-U-N-D-E-R-T. My name is Jonah. My brother is one of the 17 co-accused currently facing conspiracy charges related to the G20. Of those 17, one person is still in jail. He has been denied bail. He has spent over 2 months in jail. The other 16 of those 17 people are all on house arrest. They are facing some of the strictest bail conditions that the court is legally able to give out to people. They are facing house arrest. They are not allowed to use cell phones. They are not allowed to communicate with their co-accused or with their communities. These are the kinds of bail conditions that we usually see applied to murderers and to gang trials. Now remember, these are people who were not even on the street on Saturday. These people were arrested in house raids Saturday morning and picked up out of cabs on their way to press conferences and off the street on that day before any of the property destruction happened on that day. They are not accused of violent crimes. These people were targeted for their politics. These people were targeted because they are effective community organizers. They were targeted because they fight alongside Indigenous leaders, alongside land defenders on behalf of immigrants, on behalf of marginalized communities across Southern Ontario and Quebec. And for that, they are arrested and facing extremely serious jail time. So there's a few things to remember. One thing is that these kinds of bail conditions are not only meant to penalize these 17 people. These bail conditions are meant to damage our communities and to damage our movement. These kinds of charges and these kinds of bail conditions are rare. They don't happen very often, and they happen when our movement is the strongest. This is a sign that we pose a threat to the government and to the police and the austerity measures of the G20. We have seen a moment in time where people in this city are furious. They were furious leading up to the G20 about what the G20 represents, and they are angry now about police violence. We cannot let them weaken us. It is important that we keep moving forward. People have asked me how people can support those 17 and the other defendants. There's a very practical way. One is donating to the legal fund. But even more important is that we do not let them stop us. We do not let them kill our momentum. That we keep moving forward. We keep growing stronger. We build solidarity and we build momentum. We cannot let them intimidate us. We cannot let them silence us.
Word up. So getting the word out, that was Jonah Hundert of this Toronto Community Mobilization, or the solidarity with, I guess he works with the support committee for the 17 that were charged with conspiracy, the 17 that, you know, you'll hear references to them in the media as like the ringleaders of this whole, protests. Well, this rally was, you know, it was a few, maybe around 100 people, but it was sort of like a rainy night, so it was, you know, it was something to see, and I could get a view because I had my camera. This is one incident where instance where having a camera is a plus with the situation, because you know in police headquarters how there's like a front, it's sort of almost like a courtyard, almost like a front area before you reach the front doors of the headquarters. They weren't letting people stand there except for the media. They would allow to stand there to get some shots. Everyone else had to be on the sidewalk, and the sidewalk isn't that wide, so it was hard to get, you know, in a front view for a lot of people. But I at least got a front view with the, you know, camera. I'm hopefully going to get some clips up when I get some time, you know, but there is, the words are getting out in the media. Here we've got another clip here, and this might hit a bit closer to home here at CKLN broadcasting here on Ryerson University campus, because this is a clip of Angela Regnier, who's with the U of T Students Union, who was one of the speakers on Monday, and she talks about the criminalization on campus during the G20. What happened at U of T? Here's a bit of that speech.
Mobilized against the U of T campus closure were also targeted for making spaces for mobilizing. Over 70 individuals were arrested while sleeping on a gym floor at the Graduate Students Union campus. Only a block away were out-of-town security personnel cozily accommodated in residences that students were kicked out of. It's as if it's a crime now for students to organize on their own campus. And so while they try to continue to divide us and immobilize us with various tactics to squelch dissent, like bogus bail conditions, exorbitant legal fees, fear-mongering, trauma, and intimidation, we will not cave to these attempts to criminalize dissent. We know our rights, and we know we are right. It's good to hear that around 25% of these ridiculous charges were already dropped today. All charges are dropped, and all political prisoners are free. We need to stop the criminalization of dissent and stop the ongoing and daily police violence in all of our communities. I'd like to call on the Toronto Police today to print off a copy of the Charter of Rights and Freedoms for each of their employees. And I'd like to call on the government to free all defendants and to put the G20 on trial and the Integrated Security Unit on trial now.
Word up. So there you heard from Angela Regnier, who's calling for the G20 to be put on trial. And she talked a bit about what happened at the U of T when that was raided on the, I guess it was the Sunday morning of the G20, the last weekend of June. You know, so this is the kind of stuff we're seeing on campus, the criminalization of dissent. And, you know, it wasn't just U of T campus, because I've actually got this headline, you know, getting around to this time of year, we're thinking about back to school. You know, so I checked out the Eye Opener website, and the Eye Opener is actually the newspaper here at one of the newspapers here at Ryerson. Their office is on the same floor as this radio station, CKLN. And actually, I checked their website, and I noticed that there hadn't been too many postings over the summer. But the one of the headlines they got is check this one out. It's undercover RCMP officer caught spying on G20 protesters at Ryerson. And that's a headline from Wednesday, June the 23rd, by Shannon Higgins. The article explains how an undercover RCMP officer was escorted off campus by the local Ryerson campus security, and student president Toby Whitfield was alerted, and he was quoted as well in the article as saying, "We want to provide a space for people to discuss the G20 issues." But then he added that he wouldn't be surprised if more undercover RCMP found their way into the student campus center during the summit. So these were the warnings that were getting a few days before the actual G20 took place. and then you see what happened at U of T. You put two and two together, and we're seeing the criminalization on campus. But, you know, that's why I'm glad there's still people out there on Monday night, you know, for this rally. And, you know, maybe I underestimated the amount of people there because we got a call from somebody who was there who thought there was, you know, at least over 200 people, which, you know, there probably was for the main part of the rally. And I stuck around after trying to get interviews after, so I got to see the crowd like dissipate. But you know what? Here will be the last speech until we get into these, or I'll get into the interviews next. But here I'll play just a bit of a clip of Mohan Mishra, who is from No One Is Illegal Toronto, speaking about this, you know, whole G20 prisoner solidarity, calling out, you know, because this was on the day that over 300 people have been asked to show up in court on these G20 charges, and a lot of the charges got thrown out. But well, here's Mohan Mishra, the G20 solidarity rally.
No One Is Illegal is a community-based organization that fights for migrant justice and status for all.
All the people here today and the hundreds of people that were at court all day, one more sign that we're not going to stop fighting, that we're going to keep going and keep doing whatever it is we have to do until all the charges are dropped and every single person arrested at the G20 is released. So let's talk briefly about what happened today at court. What happened today is that we saw the largest mass court appearance in Toronto history, over 300 people appearing in court on trumped up bogus charges related to the G20. And since that last weekend in June, we have been saying to every single person we can that those charges need to be dropped, that they're charges based on people's political beliefs, and they're being targeted because they oppose the austerity agenda that the G20 leaders were in town to implement. And what we saw today was exactly what we've been saying. Over 75 people that were this morning facing charges are no longer facing charges. This is just one more example, one more admission by the Crown that they know that they have nothing, that these charges are bogus, that the police went completely overboard. And the 75 charges that were dropped today is just one sign of that. And we know that these charges aren't gonna stick. We know that as we keep going, as we keep fighting and mobilizing, that more and more charges are going to get dropped, and more of our friends and activists and community organizers are going to be found completely innocent. So while we're out here, we need to remember that this sort of police violence that mainstream Canada was exposed to on that last weekend in June is something that poor communities and immigrant communities and marginalized communities in this city deal with every day, every single day. We know that in places like Six Nations and Tynanega, in places like Jane and Finch, in places like the downtown East Side, people face this kind of police violence, harassment, and intimidation every day. And while we're all out here fighting for the charges to be dropped, we need to recommit, to redouble our efforts right now and say that we're not going to leave anyone behind. Whether you're facing detention and charges because of the G20, whether you're homeless on the East Side and facing police harassment, whether you're an immigrant facing deportation at the hands of the CBSA, we are not going to leave you behind, and we are going to keep fighting until everyone is free.
Word up. So those are some words there from the rally. You heard a bit of the speeches there, and just in case you didn't make it out on Monday night for the G20 solidarity with the defendants, the people that have been charged on these G20, of which, you know, we're seeing most of the charges have been dropped so far. So that's why you're hearing people talk about bogus charges, because, you know, there a lot of them are. You know, we got a bunch of interviews we got to play to get a bit more into the more in depth into these topics, get some firsthand experience of the people that have been involved with all this stuff. But first, we'll just go to a quick music break here. This is another one by 95.6. It's a track called The Fed. And stay tuned to the Word of Mouth Wednesday, 7 to 8 p.m., CKLN, 88.1 FM. Word up.
Lie on the new screen while I spread knowledge. Politics and politicians, tricky rich gimmicks. Serve all you new speak, double speak lyrics. Oil falls, but gas breaks, rice. Coalition hot tricks while they raise our taxes. Give us project has a money, live in a mansion. Does he hold debts, be hexed while their subsidies cancelled? Raise them in a moment, but it's taxable. And Harper's a problem when he's held accountable. Count this gas, slap that 5-6 when the mob hits underground. Don't do that young game college. Lie on the new screen while I spread knowledge. Count the scouts, let them 5-6 when the mob hits underground. Don't do that young name college.
Analysts analyze mid-stock prices plummet. GE scheming at mafia summits. Protest till the tear gas hits. Fascist police undercover start riots. Solidarity fist strike back and burn flag. CNN censors so you ignore truth. You conscious. No, this is proof you're sleepy. I see your eyes trash fixing daisy. Your whole life is fugazi. Keep my two eyes open for the third eye watching while yours are eyes wide shut to the clockwork.
Count this down, slot 9-5-6 when the mob hits underground. Don't do that young game college. Lie on the new screen while I spread knowledge. Count this down, slot 9-5-6 when the mob hits underground. Don't do that young game college. Lie on the new screen while I spread knowledge. Different records. Don't drop this.
Word of Mouth Wednesday, back here. It's about 7:18 p.m., and we're just getting into our first interview here, feature interview with one of the speakers and person that we've, I think we played some of her speech at the Toronto Community Mobilization Press Conference that took place before the G20. And then this is here's an interview with Miriam Adrangi of the Toronto Community Mobilization Network. Here it is. Word up. So Word of Mouth Wednesday here, CKLN Radio. We're after the G20 Solidarity protest rally here at Toronto Police Headquarters. And I have a guest here today. Do you feel like introducing yourself?
Sure, my name is Miriam Adrangi, and I organized with the Toronto Community Mobilization Network, and I was here today with the Toronto Community Solidarity Network.
And what was the purpose of this rally here, a 6 p.m. rally at the Toronto Police Headquarters?
Well, it was definitely a follow-up to what happened this morning, which was that 303 people were called into court today, all people facing G20-related charges, politically motivated, trumped-up, ridiculous charges of... and these people were amongst the over 1,000 people, over 1,100 people who were arrested during the G20, who were also among the over 40,000 people who were out in the streets demanding human rights and sharing the values that millions of people around the world share. So this was a follow-up to say drop all the charges and free our friends, get rid of the silly bail conditions, get rid of all this nonsense. It's just been a complete fiasco.
And what happened earlier today at the court?
Well, we saw that people were getting charges dropped due to lack of evidence. People were being offered diversions, which is pretty much offering them to pay money to have their charges dropped. Again, these were often with cases when there was like no evidence. We were just seeing a lot of people go through this system and just seeing it be dragged out. And
how was what was the G20 weekend like for you? Were you charged at all? Or were you?
Yeah, I was arrested just after coming from a press conference where I was talking about police brutality. And about 50 of us were kettled on the sidewalk, not allowed to leave, and I was pulled out of the crowd and arrested.
And did they mention that it had anything to do with the press conference, or what? Like, was there any reason?
Well, they didn't mention that. I thought it was really ironic that that's what happened. Yeah, they just arrested me on breach of the peace, drove me around in a paddy wagon for about 5 hours, and released me, all charges dropped. So really, this was just one of the cases of police intimidation that had been happening in the month leading up, the week leading up, and happening all weekend.
For real, for real. And were your charges dropped today, or was this before?
My charges were dropped actually immediately after I got released. So I was driven around in a paddy wagon, brought to the detention center for about 10 minutes, and released right away. Charges dropped right then and there. So it's really just making... bring an inconvenience to people and sending the message, stay off the streets, don't demand rights, don't organize in your community. And these aren't messages that should be sent. People are allowed to organize in their community. People are allowed to connect and build relationships. And people are allowed to say that cutting social spending, creating injustices, all those things are not okay.
And do you believe that you were, that situation happened because you were involved with the organizing? Like, do you think that the organizers were...
Definitely, I do think many organizers were targeted. Many organizers were targeted in the months leading up to the G20 and the week prior. People were being followed. At one point, I was being followed by the Integrated Security Unit. While I was on the phone, there were two guys just following me. Two guys that we had recognized from other previous events and who had actively been kicked out of meetings. People were arrested on ridiculous charges like having weapons or materials to break and enter when it was really the keys to her workplace. So charges like these, which are absolutely absurd, based on nothing, they're clearly a sign that there is some targeting of organizers.
You were mentioning, though, today that there are some charges are being dropped.
Some charges are being dropped, in previous cases, some charges have actually even disappeared. Someone who was charged on the Public Works Act for being 5 meters away from the fence and not handing over ID, his case just disappeared. He showed up in court, and he wasn't on the docket. So it's just all absurd.
Right, and I guess, like, what can people do, people, if they're interested in, you know, in getting more information or interested in helping out with the work with the G20, is there anything?
Well, they could definitely check out the website, which is torontomobilize.org. There's a way to support the movement, the Legal Defense Fund, which is going to help in paying off the hundreds of thousands of dollars that we're trying to raise to deal with all these drawn-out legal fees. And just to organize in their community on the many issues. There's tons of issues, environmental justice issues, migrant justice issues, labor rights, workers' rights, anti-poverty. Get involved in your local community.
For real, for real. And I guess, is there any last, like, thoughts that you have on the G20 group, like the politicians, the people that are, like, leading the world? Do you have any thoughts on what they're up to?
Yeah, I do have some thoughts of what they're up to. I think they are trying to tax people, cut social services, and hide behind their fences because their riot police, because they obviously do have something to hide. Their backhanded deals are making people angry, making people upset, and they're followed by resistance everywhere for very valid reasons, because they're bringing injustices to communities, and people aren't going to stand up for it. People are saying that that's not okay, so I think we need to get rid of the G20, abolish them. It's not a legitimate forum to be talking about global issues.
Thanks a lot, Miriam.
Great, thanks.
Word up. So that was Miriam Madrangi of the Toronto Community Mobilization and, the community solidarity that's going around with this G20, people making the court appearances on Monday. And then that was a bit of words from the rally afterwards. You know, a few hundred people at the rally in front of police headquarters. And I got to interview, well, I got four interviews to play. We just played the Mary Madrangi interview. Next up, we're going to play an interview with another guest we've had on the show before, and that is Barry Weisletter of the Socialist Action, the group Socialist Action. So here is the interview with Barry Weisletter. We're at the rally here in front of police headquarters about the G20, and we got a guest here, but do you mind introducing yourself?
Yeah, my name's Barry Weisletter. I'm a co-editor of Socialist Action newspaper and also involved in the NDP Socialist Caucus. And we've been involved in the G20 protests.
So I guess, what is your reaction to the G20? What do you think about, like, what you're seeing going on?
It's good to see that people are, still active in the movement to demand that the charges be dropped. We believe the charges should be dropped. The police were ridiculous in terms of, you know, the way the city was locked down, and people have a right to demonstrate and to voice their opposition to the G20 agenda. And that's actually what I would like to talk about, if that's okay, because while it's important to defend civil liberties against the police and the state, we shouldn't lose sight of the economic agenda, which is the cause of the protest in the first place. People rallied from across the city, the province, the country and beyond, to demand an end to the austerity drive. Now, what's that all about? We know that the world economy experienced a real crash 2 years ago, and governments, using working class taxation, bailed out banks and giant manufacturers, and now they're in the process of returning to the private sector all of those elements that were propped up with public money, while cutting back programs which are vital to health, safety, education, transportation, all of the vital social needs of society. Their agenda calls for slashing expenditures with respect to welfare, with respect to housing, social housing. We could make post-secondary education free if we would force the government to withdraw troops from Afghanistan, to end the wars of intervention in South Asia and the Middle East. But that's completely contrary to the G20 agenda, which is why people were protesting. You know, to demand education, public health care. Our Medicare system is under serious attack, and is withering under the blows of that attack. And yet there's over $1 billion for security. Unfortunately, a number of people in groups that were heavily infiltrated by the police created a situation in which the cops and the Harper government can point to isolated acts of violence against store windows and police cars, which the police tolerated. In fact, they watched while these acts were carried out in order to attempt to justify their enormous expenditures on so-called security issues, ignoring vital needs in terms of health, education, social housing, public transportation, and other things I mentioned. There's a need for a full, open public inquiry, full spectrum inquiry into police actions. We think the labor movement should carry out that full public inquiry and not rely on arms of the police, the state, political appointees of the capitalist parties, to stop the austerity drive, to stop the provincial budget of Dwight Duncan, which aims to freeze for 2 years the wages of Ontario public service workers, not just those in OPSU, but in QP Ontario and many other unions, and workers who don't have a union, whose wages will be frozen along with those who are in organized workplaces. That's the real agenda, to impoverish society, to wipe out a century of working class gains in aid of a faltering capitalist system. It's a system that should go, and people's rights and needs should be advanced. We're here to say that.
For real, yeah, and we got people out here protesting, and I was just wondering, you brought up the G20 economic agenda, and I know that the G20 is going to be meeting again, you know, less than a few months away in Korea. What do you think is the next move for this G20?
Well, the next move for the G20, of course, is to continue the austerity drive, which I described. The next move for the social movements has to be to continue the protests. But I would like to see the protests consist mainly of mass actions, which involve thousands, tens of thousands, if possible millions of ordinary people, of working people, of the unemployed, of women and men, Aboriginal and Indigenous organizations. General strike action, for example, should be the response of Ontario workers to the Dwight Duncan budget. Mass action is the way to go, and I hope that's the course in Seoul, Korea, and all of the future gatherings of the super rich and the elite.
And I know we got some politics, we got an election coming up in the city. I was wondering if Socialist Action has endorsed any candidates for mayor, or what you're thinking about this municipal election.
We're not endorsing any of the candidates for mayor unless one emerges who stands on a workers' agenda. And by that we mean an agenda that challenges the austerity drive of the employers. The Labour Council in Toronto has endorsed a grab bag of Liberals and New Democrats who will not run with any party identification, but who defend the Miller City Hall regime attack on the civic workers that occurred last summer, that tried to strip them of their workplace rights, their wages and benefits. Full credit to the civic workers standing up to that offensive. They made some minor concessions, but they had to wage a fight against Joe Pantalone and the labor fakers at City Hall, teamed up with liberals, who are, you know, defending and advancing the employer agenda. So we think the way to go is to reject the politicians that defend a big business agenda, that refuse to tax religious institutions, that refuse to tax the developers, that refuse to tax big property, the banks in this city, that let the polluters get away with murder. That's the problem. There's no shortage of money. It's just false allocation of resources that leads to the neglect of social needs. Unfortunately, we don't see a real alternative for a workers' agenda in the City of Toronto municipal election, in the upcoming election, October 25th. And that's very regrettable.
For real. And we're speaking with Barry Weisleiter, and I noticed you got some flyers and you got your newspaper there, Socialist Action. What's the latest with Socialist Action? What can people expect?
Well, in Toronto, we sponsor a wide range of activities. Next May will be the 25th annual May Day celebration that we'll host, but much, much sooner, we'll be out on Labor Day. We'll be launching the Rebel Film Series. Radical films, kick-ass documentaries with guest speakers, and that'll begin on Friday, September the 17th, 7 p.m. at Oisy Bloor and St. George, second floor, and we'll continue for 7 more Fridays after that, well into the month of November. In mid to late November, we'll be hosting Education for Activists. We call it a Trotsky School. It looks at some of the lessons that we can learn from the great political thinkers of the past. So that'll be on the probably the third weekend in November. People who are interested in learning more about what we're doing and getting involved, we invite you to go to socialistaction-canada.blogspot.com. Or if you just Google Socialist Action and go to the Canadian websites, because we have an American sister organization of the same name, you'll be able to find us, and we look forward to your inquiries and your involvement. Thanks for asking.
Great. Thanks a lot. Barry Weisleiter.
Word up. So that was an interview with Barry Weisleiter of Socialist Action, Socialist Action Canada, and the NDP Socialist Caucus, speaking from the rally that took place on Monday evening for the G20 solidarity with the defendants. And here is going to be an interview with one of the most shocking stories of the G20. And this is where you get into the G20 Hollywood PSYOP, because we're talking about temporary detention center that was set up for mass arrests at Toronto Film Studios, one of the biggest film studios in Toronto, a big studio room converted with cages turned into a temporary holding cell. And when that place started to get full on Saturday, I guess Sunday morning, a lot of activists were out for a rally in front of this film studio. And then something happened. There was some sort of rubber bullets were fired, and then people started being arrested. And, you know, I wasn't there, so I don't know firsthand. I just seen the clips on YouTube. And this is one of the most shocking clips, is an activist is pulled out of the crowd by by uniformed police officers, then given to ununiformed big guys that throw her in the back of an unmarked van, and then the van drives off really fast. You know, it's almost a moving van, thrown in almost into a moving van. They jump there. You can tell they're like sitting on her in the back of the van, and then the van's driving away as they're sliding the door closed. Well, this is an interview with the woman that happened to, that incident, Lacey McCauley, who was a journalist from Washington, D.C., who was here for the G20, and she had been at the G20 in Washington in 2008. And, well, she talks about what happened to her and her situation when she showed up in court on Monday. This is the interview with Lacey McCauley.
Wednesday, we're here at the Solidarity for the Protesters of the G20 rally at the police headquarters. Just finished, and we have a guest here. Do you feel like introducing yourself?
I'm Lacey McAuley from Washington, D.C., and I just had my court case earlier today. I had been charged with assault of a police officer, and that was 200% incorrect. They assaulted me, and they totally withdrew the case. I didn't have to do anything. I didn't have to pay anything. There were no conditions. They just said it's not in the interest of the prosecution to pursue the case.
This was today? This happened today?
Yeah, just earlier today in the courtroom. It's on Finch Avenue here in Toronto. I mean, I basically came all the way up over the weekend from Washington, D.C., just so I could stand in front of the courtroom for 30 seconds today for them to say, your case is dismissed. And it's ridiculous. I shouldn't have had to go through all that trouble in the first place. They said I assaulted a police officer, and I did not assault anyone. And they think that they can just withdraw the case and sweep me under the carpet. And they think that they can do that to all of us, actually. Just withdraw the cases, sweep us under the carpet, give us diversions, and sweep us under the carpet. But we will not be silenced. We're not going away like that.
For real. And, you know, the shocking thing is how they took you away during the G20, because I know I've seen the footage. It's a famous clip that where you're being thrown into, like, an unmarked van by, like, ununiformed police officers. And the van drives off really quickly. Like, where were they driving you to?
Basically, so I was standing in the peaceful, you know, very peaceful rally outside of the jail on Eastern Avenue. Police officers ran into the crowd. They snatched a young man right in front of me. I ran forward to take photos. And then I turned and they were running for me. And so they snatched me. They threw me on the pavement once. They dragged me. They threw me on the pavement again. An officer placed his knee on my head. Very painful. You've never had a knee on your head. You should know that it's extremely painful. They picked me up, they jostled me around, and threw me into the van. And it was an unmarked van. And I should say that the four officers who did this never identified themselves as officers. I don't even know to this day if three of the four of them were officers. I've only identified one of them. So they threw me into an unmarked van. Officer Kevin Antoine sat on top of me and punched me in the torso. I was kind of starting to voice, you know, stop doing this. And then one of the other officers choked me, strangled me, and held that for a long time, and then punched me in the head. And I just started loudly saying, I'm a good person. I don't know why you're doing this to me. The longer story shorter, they drove me into the temporary police station right there on Eastern Avenue. They arrested me and kept me in jail for 2.5 days.
From the morning that you were arrested, they kept you in for two and a half full days?
Yeah, 2.5 full days. Basically, I was sleeping on the cold concrete. We did not have enough water. We didn't have enough food. Many of us were not even given phone calls. I was not given the chance to pick up the phone and just call one of my family members or a friend so that they actually knew where I was. The only reason that they knew that I was is because a journalist, a reporter, had seen me get arrested and called someone who was my friend who called my family. And that's the only way that they knew.
And so was this G20 the first time you had been to Toronto? Was this your welcome to Toronto, or had you been here before?
This was the first time I'd been to Toronto. Yes, I was in Toronto because I very adamantly oppose the G20. I don't believe in its policies. It's basically hyper-capitalist policies of, neoliberalism everywhere. It's bad for workers in countries like Canada and my country, the United States. And it's bad for the environment. It's only promoting climate change. And it disrupts traditional communities and traditional economies as well. And so I very, very adamantly oppose those policies, and that's why I was here in Toronto opposing the G20.
All right, and I heard you mention the Alternative Media Center. Do you have any words on the alternative media here in Toronto?
I think that I'm a big fan of the alternative media here in Toronto. I myself was a member of the Alternative Media Center during the G20 summit weekend. Like, for example, all day Saturday I was wearing my press badge and so forth. I'm a big fan, and the video has been great, including yours.
Oh, thanks. And I guess, is there any way that you'd recommend people to check out more of your stuff, or any links you'd like to share?
Sure. If you want to keep in touch with me, basically my blog is just lacymacaulay.wordpress.com. And that's just www.lacymacaulay.wordpress.com.
That's
Thanks a lot.
Word up. So those were just some words there with Lacey McCauley, one of the activists, protesters, and journalists that was arrested during the G20. And, you know, her story, I'm at least glad that her story has been able to get out in the news. You know, she's been in a lot of the newspapers and on TV and stuff because it's such a shocking, you know, story about what's going on. Well, also shocking is the fact that a lot of the stories cannot get out. This is what I found out at the rally when I was going looking for people to interview. I actually saw Testament. Testament is a rapper in the group Test Their Logic, who we interviewed the week before the G20. And I walked up to Testament. I go, "Yo, Testament, what's up?" He's like, "Yo, what's up?" And I'm like, "Do you want to do an interview?" And he's like, "Yes, I do. I do want to do an interview, but I can't because the conditions. Those are the court conditions. The court condition that some of these people have that have the charges cannot speak to the media, cannot make any statements to the media, and apparently some also there's conditions such as they can't talk with each other. So even a rap duo of Illogic and Testament, Test Their Logic, Illogic and Testament can't speak with each other. That's what Testament told me. He can't speak with Illogic, and that Illogic has the same conditions. So that's why I'm hoping that some of this court stuff gets moving, just so we can start getting the words out, you know, with the people who can't speak about this stuff right now. But you know, it all happened in time. But you know, just because we're talking about Test Their Logic, and because, you know, it's one of the most known G20 tracks, well, we're just going to throw it to G8G20, Crash the Meeting, Test Their Logic. Music break, and we'll be right back on the Word of Mouth Wednesday.
Enlightened sovereignty, then the natural extension.
I order all those assembled to immediately disperse. You must leave the immediate vicinity. If you do not disperse, you may be arrested and or subject to other police action.
Come on, see you in the streets. Yeah, yeah, test the logic, yeah. G8G20, they few, we many. G8G20, they few, we many.
There's nowhere you can't go in the world without opposition to your plans on making it twirl. Around your greedy fingers, we watching it swirl down the drain. Insane economics unfurl. See, we're not buying what you're selling, even with your propaganda telling the media barons rebelling. We're yelling,
no justice, no peace.
The streets, it's just us versus the elite's police. See, a better world we see, so we're free when we speak. Oil's at its peak, and we got it a beat. The status quo will keep us unable to speak. On our knees saying, please, we reap what we sow. So you know the whole plan is out of control. The goal to hold power while we get the blindfold. Truth be told, it's the same old song and dance. We're down to the wire, might be our last chance to advance. Humanity, take your stance. The power of the people, a street romance. United, we cannot be defeated. G20, we're ready, T-Dot, it's time to greet them.
G8G20, they few, we many. G8G20, they few, we many.
Every single one of us has a reason. Together we're strong, let's crash the meeting. Every single one of us has a reason. Together we're strong, let's crash the meeting.
Chattering the so-called social peace. Windows getting smashed live on TV. 2010 is here, confront the beast. Reclaim the streets.
Enlightened sovereignty.
Bringing that fire, it's incendiary. Cause they locking down streets with the military. And the progress is death, it's a cemetery. This is Canada, this is native territory. Turtle Island, East Coast of Salish. Colonizers just keep on taking. February 2010, confront invasion. G20 duly, big tree blazing.
During the time of crisis, I relied on about 10 Canadians with great expertise to give. To give advice.
Destroy the SBB wherever it gets stationed. Take over everything with occupation. More revolt, more self-determination. Social war against our nations. No control against domination. Against the empire and its colonization. Against the war and the government agents. Against authority for liberation. G8G20, they few, we many. G8G20, they few, we many.
Every single one. T8G20. That was a Tester Logic track. And just an update here. We got an update from the Toronto Media Co-op, torontomediacoop.ca, from a blog posting by Andrew Mazzenti. And it's talking about a Korea Times article. Korea Times is now reporting that South Korea's National Police Agency will mobilize 400,000 police when the G20 comes to Seoul this November. I think it's the first weekend of November. And they're talking about three floating islands. The Justice Ministry, police, and other government officials have been wiping out unauthorized street vendors and homeless people. And there's been large-scale crackdowns on unregistered migrants nationwide. And the summit will be hosted on three new artificial floating islands in the Han River in Seoul. The islands, several square kilometers in size, featuring convention halls, restaurants, parks, and a walking pass, will cost 94 billion won, $85 million Canadian to build, reported the Korea Times in January 2010. So that's the kind of things you can look out for coming up in a few weeks in this Korea G20 that's going to be coming up, you know. But speaking on the Toronto G20 and getting into the Toronto issues, how about our last feature interview of today? Here's an interview here with Selwyn Firth, who's a candidate for mayor we had on a few weeks after the G20, talking about his story of when he was arrested near the G20 protest, but he wasn't even protesting. But well, anyways, here is Selwyn's first story about his court case on Monday.
It's Daniel Levy here for the Word of Mouth Wednesday. We're here at the Toronto Police Headquarters on a, it's a G20 action day. I know there's been some court stuff going on today, and we're here with a guest. We're actually going to get an update from a person we've interviewed on the Word of Mouth Wednesday before, Selwyn Firth, a candidate for mayor. Selwyn, what went on today?
Well, today was just the first court appearance for most of the G20 protesters, and some of them had their charges dropped, and others were being bribed by being offered to, if they made a donation to a charity, they would have the charges dropped. And that's kind of ridiculous, because if they had valid evidence, they shouldn't have given any reason to drop the charges whatsoever. It was a way of allowing the police to say, yeah, they took the deal, so they must have been guilty. And so what we did was okay. But a number of us aren't taking any of those deals. And in fact, I'm going back on Friday to set a court date. I have a lawyer. I just have to get the times that she's available before we can do anything. But the rest of it was just ridiculous how they were handling it. The PA system didn't work. They were supposed to be calling people's names out. There was nothing. It was absolutely mayhem inside the courthouse. And trying to get heard was absolutely ridiculous. If you had a lawyer, though, it went very well. The lawyers got first crack at everything. And if you had a lawyer, you'd be in and out, and that'd be it. They're gone. You know, so that was the way everything was going. But the whole situation just smells to high heaven. And it shouldn't have happened in our city, not with our police force, not with our criminal justice system, because most of the people are innocent. I was charged with I was given the same evidence everybody else was, and I wasn't even in the same area. So we'll see what they actually do with this whole thing when it comes right down to it, because it's absolutely ridiculous.
For real. And do you have any more details on this bribe? What was this offer that they were offering?
What they were doing was they were offering people that had obstruction charges, if they paid a fee, somewhere from $25 to $100, and maybe signed a peace bond or something, they would drop the charges. The charges would be withdrawn. If you had gone to this diversion office and chose to make a donation of $25 to $75, whatever the Crown decided you had to do, and then they would look at this receipt you gave them, and the charges would be automatically, they would just withdraw them. That was it. Game over. But you still have the knowledge that you acquiesced to what the police wanted, what the Crown wanted, and that, in fact, you could be looked at as being guilty of what you had been charged with. And so there's this situation that didn't make a lot of sense. And it was, in reality, it is a bribe, and there's no way around it. It smells, it stinks, and it should never have happened. It's either the charges were solid enough to go forward, or they weren't, and dropping them was the only option. But they couldn't drop so many without getting some other action going, because it would make them look really bad. And it's all about saving face for the Toronto Police Force and the Crown Prosecution, because they work hand in hand. It's too bad, but that's the way it is.
What was it like today in court? I heard that there was hundreds of people.
Oh, the hallways were filled with people. There's only room in the court for 20, 25 people. And so they'd fill the court, 25 people, and then as people were being dealt with, they'd let other people go in. And this kept going on all morning. And finally, like, if you weren't at the door when they were letting people out, you couldn't get in. So the whole thing was just, it was like chaos, complete chaos. Hardly anybody knew what was going on. They had some duty counsel explaining things to people who were outside of the courtroom, because they couldn't explain them any other way. They had to deal with groups of, you know, 10 or 15 people at a time, trying to explain to them what to do, what to expect, because most of these people have never been in court before.
And I guess where it stands now is that you just have another date that you're going to be set.
I have another date to set another date for a court appearance to set another date. Like, it's a date upon a date upon a date, you know. It's like, if I was dating a woman, it would be lots of fun, but this is ridiculous.
For real. And one date I do know is October 25th, the election for mayor, 2010. And I've seen the leading candidate for mayor actually in the front of the paper, his mugshot in the front of the paper. I guess, do you have any comments on what's going on with the mayor's race?
Well, I'm just saying they're beating themselves up, and they don't really have a lot to say about, you know, they're all egoists. They all want to be mayor. They don't want to do anything for the city. Ford says he wants to cut the budgets and that sort of stuff, but he's not confident at doing very much other stuff. The whole thing is, they want to be mayor because it's an important position. I, on the other hand, want to be mayor because it'll allow me to do things that will help the city be better. And there's a big difference between me and the others. They're having an environmental debate on the 31st of August, and I'm the only one that has a science degree, and I haven't been invited. How bad is that?
And how can the word-of-mouth listeners get more info on your campaign?
Well, you can go to my website, www.selwynformayor.com. There's a link there to send me an email if you want answers about any questions you may have. You can look at the website. It's got links to various policies I have. And if you have concerns about anything, you can email me and I'll write you a response, which you can publish or do anything with. I'm not afraid of what I say. You know, whether people, they might not like it, but I'm not afraid of saying stuff.
For real, yeah. Thanks a lot. Selwyn Firth.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Word up. So that was the candidate for mayor, Selwyn Firth, one of the many candidates for mayor. I know a lot of people know about five candidates, or used to be six, now it's five that have been chosen, the chosen five. But there's also a lot more candidates, so you can just, you know, look out for different names as we get closer to the end of October, or, you know, keep listening to Word of Mouth Wednesday. Hopefully we'll have some more different candidates on. As we get closer to that election, you know, and then the G20 issue is, well, it was still going on Monday. Those words were just recorded at the G20 Solidarity Rally that was Monday, August 23rd, 2010, at the police headquarters. And just because we're running a bit late in the show, I think we might save the words, the update that I got recorded on the weekend with Brian Law, because Brian Law gave an update on what happened when he was arrested. He was arrested in early May for recording a video before the G20 at King and Bay. But, you know, we'll save that one for next week, I think, because since we still have a few minutes left in the show, I think it might be a good time to get into the most one of the most important issues that has come out of this G20 and one of the biggest mysteries about this G20. And that has to do with agent provocateurs, or agent provocateurs, as they're, you know, known And agent provocateurs were identified at the 2007 rally. It was a rally in Montebello, Quebec, when the Security Prosperity Partnership, the Three Amigos, were meeting in Quebec at a forest retreat. Three officers were found to be dressed as Black Bloc anarchist protesters, and they had rocks in their hand, and they were, you know, at the front of the line, almost charging the police line. So, with this being admitted in history in Canada, the question remains: were provocateurs used in the G20? Was the Black Bloc riots legitimate, or were the G20 riots staged as a sign that the Toronto Truth Seekers have on the streets on Saturday street actions? G20 riots in Toronto were staged. With these kind of questions, you know, it gets me into thinking about, well, the one guy in this G20 that people have been asking me about since before the G20, and that is a person we've had on the show. Actually, 2 weeks ago, he was in the studio for a lot of the show, speaking with John Prine, and that's Derek. And Derek has been accused a lot of times of being a undercover. So what happened on this weekend when I got to ask Derek a few words? Well, actually, I got to tag along with Press for Truth when they interviewed Derek, because Derek went through this whole ordeal a few weeks ago where he was investigated in front of his building by police, almost as if the G20 was still on, because it turned into like 12-on-1 just for an ID check and investigation. Then they just let him go afterwards. But you can check out thesecretstore.ca, check out the security cam footage that he got from his building security department. But anyways, Derek has been accused of being a undercover, and a lot of people ask me, do I think that this guy is a cop? Well, I asked him myself after Press for Truth. I talked to him about his recent incident and his thoughts on the G20 and everything. I just brought up, the question, to Derek, are you a provocateur? And, well, just for your interest, maybe you'll like to hear his answer. Well, it's in this clip, so just take a look at this. Here's Derek.
And ask his opinion on something, or to ask him to help out the homeless, or to ask him to the important questions that you have on your mind. Because they're here serving us. You know, they're here to protect the public. And I think we have the right. Yeah, okay. Definitely.
Cool.
Derek, do you want to go on the record? Are you an agent provocateur?
I'm definitely not an agent provocateur. I did want to be a police officer, and I still might look into that, because I want to be one of the good officers. You know, I want to be one of the people that help out the public. I think we need to go to schools. We need to educate high school students. We need to let them know that the police officer is here to protect us, and they're the good guys. You know, I'm not here to say all police officers are bad. There's a minority, just like in any kind of industry in the world. There's always a faction that misappropriates the law, you know? So I think it's important that we do, this public inquiry has already begun. Whether it hasn't been official, I just think it's up to the alternative media to cover the real news and to get the information out to the general public. That's the public inquiry that I'm talking about. So we need to spread the information, we need to follow the facts and talk about the truth, and the truth will prevail. We're not gonna be a part of the lies, we're not gonna be about secret laws passed in private with the McGuinty government. 5-meter rules that were disclosed into the public domain that were false. You know, we have weapon caches that were falsified. We have over $1 billion of our taxpayers' money, unprecedented, the most mass arrest in Canadian history. This has been detrimental to Toronto. It has changed Toronto as we know it. People lose the public trust in the police. We have to repair it. And if we have to start doing that, if we have to be the ones to try to make that bond and try to connect with them, then so be it. Because we just need people to wake up, and sometimes they're just following orders. They're just doing their job, you know? But some people have to be held accountable at the highest levels, including Bill Blair. Because he was the one that, on record, lied to the public. These people can't get away with this.
Word up, Word of Mouth Wednesday. So that just about wraps it up for our show. You just heard there that last voice, that was Derek Soberall, and then you heard a lot of voices throughout the show tonight. Just want to thank all the guests, including the interview guests, Mary Madrangi, Barry Weisletter, Lacey McCauley, Selwyn Firth, And everybody who's still looking into the G20, still wondering what happened and, you know, all this stuff, you know, check out some events tomorrow night, Thursday night, August 27th. DJs for Prisoners, fundraiser for the G20 detention legal costs at Wrong Bar, 1279 Queen Street West. That's tomorrow night. We're 2 weeks away from Labor Day, Monday, September the 6th, 2010. And then Toronto Truth Seekers Saturday Street Actions. Check out TorontoTruthSeekers.com, PressForTruth.ca, SecretStore.ca, G20Inquiry.org, G20ClassAction.ca, 2010.MediaCoop.ca, and ConspiracyCulture.com. It's their fourth year anniversary of Conspiracy Culture Store tomorrow, Thursday, August 26th. So check ConspiracyCulture.com for that. And thanks for listening to the Word of Mouth Wednesday. CKLN 88.1 FM, broadcasting from Toronto. My name's Daniel Libby, and stay tuned for the Blues Dr. Julie Hill to hear your music ills with the Blue Remedy coming up next on CKLN. This is the Word of Mouth Wednesday. Word up, word of mouth, word out.